Chris Liberatore, former national recruiting manager at the Saints. We have spoken in the past to Chris Toche, God rest him, in regards to his role through that time, and obviously can't speak highly enough of his contribution. And Chris Liberatore also involved in the decision to head across to South Australia and scout Cal Wilkie, who'd been overlooked in four drafts. He then arrives at St Kilda as a rookie and quite literally has not missed a game since. Plays 150 this weekend as captain of the club, best and fairest, All-Australian, leading mark taker in the AFL. Chris, I guess the first question was it a case that people were overanalyzing Cal and talking themselves out of taking him? Was he a late blossomer? I guess what was the reason why he was overlooked, given he's taken to AFL as well as really anybody?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of everything, to be honest. I mean, Cal played State 16s for SA. He's played State 18s for SA. But he probably spent more time as a forward, as a kid. And, you know, about being sounding a bit harsh on him, he wasn't exactly the most athletic kind of kid. And it was sort of 191, 192. People probably thought, oh, he's not a bad player, but he's probably just not quite an AFL player as that kind of third tall half forward. And then, yeah, like so many of them, that they get a crack, you know, in defence, and even for him in particular to kind of work his way through 18s into reserves, into seniors as a fringe senior player, and then like a regular proper senior player. And he probably just got 10% better each year, and, you know, to his credit, got to a point where he's actually became like a really, really good sample player and was like, oh, you're actually just better than everyone at this level. So you get your chance from there.
Chris, I'm going to reference a couple of things that that Chris Toche told me, because I spoke to him just ahead of Cal's 50th game and got a couple of quotes from him when I was writing a piece about Cal back then. And I wanted to ask you, he mentioned there was a game against the Crows Sandful squad in the 2018 season that kind of made everyone sit up and take notice. Do you remember that game, and what was it about him that kind of, I guess, grabbed your attention and made you kind of remember him after that?
Oh, I think when you have players like that, and so I sort of referenced it earlier, it's sort of, he was a little bit undersized for a key back, but he wasn't necessarily the most athletic for your sort of third or fourth running back. Often you reference those players that they play against that are AFL listed running around in the sandful. And again, it was almost like, well, you're actually doing it against all of the players that are on AFL list. That's got to count for something. It's sometimes it's like you've got attributes and you want to see what they are because they're things that might hold up against other AFL players. But on the other side, you got performance. And it's like he just kept performing. And when you're playing really well, as I said, against those AFL listed players, it's like that's got to count for a fair bit, particularly when you do it really consistently. That consistency, and particularly against like proper AFL listed players, that counts for a lot. And I do remember like talking to Toche a lot about that.
Now, we've seen the leadership that he's obviously brought to the club and that sort of thing. And was that something that shone when you were seeing him early on? And is it something that's possibly that experience he had of not being drafted and have to work his way through? And do you reckon that's something that's been built up in that area there?
Oh, 100%. That last year, before we drafted him, he showed a lot of that leadership stuff, more just like on field in the back line, directing, and he was almost like the deepest anchor kind of thing. And he'd point and I've got this guy, you're over here, and all that kind of, you know, pretty standard kind of defensive leadership type stuff. But I think, the way he got to the club, shaped how he then spent the next 6 months in the preseason, the next 12 months. And I remember talking to him at the end of his first preseason. Toche and I just were just chatting to him in the kitchen one day randomly, and you know, you're enjoying it, you know. And he's like, oh, please don't send me back, you know, don't send me back to that life where you've got to get up early and go to work so that you can leave a bit early to get to, you know, North Adelaide training just to kind of churn out that thing. Now I just have to like get up and come to one place and train all day and get a massage and sit in this meeting. That the full-time football life is so much easier than being a full-time accountant plus having to tack on all the part-time football on top of it. And so you appreciate it more. You take it for granted and you make every opportunity count. And then at the end of the day, it's like you give yourself every possible chance, and if you're good enough, you make it. I'm a big believer that his first few years before he got to the Saints shaped the way the next 150 games played out.
How much do you look at how you think a player will thrive within an AFL environment? Obviously, there'd be multiple aspects of it where freakish athlete as a youngster, someone who's big and powerful athlete as a youngster, versus someone who you would look at it and say, okay, he's, you know, there were some knocks on athleticism and some knocks on this, but I feel in a professional environment he would thrive more than perhaps some others would. And I guess getting that understanding of players that might be suited to that.
That's like one of the age-old things in recruiting, and you're constantly wrestling with it all year. And at certain times you might see a player and you think, nah, these attributes will stand up and he just needs to mature or whatever it is. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And then other times it's the Wilkie types where it's like, oh, he'll find a way because that's what his footy character and his makeup is. And we spoke about that a lot. And in the end, I'll never forget like the hours leading into the rookie draft. Like we spoke about this really strongly around, like, I don't know if you remember back then, but we needed another third tall defender, like a hole in the head back then. But we just actually believed that he was good enough and that he would play AFL footy as opposed to other kids that might have had this attribute or that attribute. You know, there's a couple of other players we were arguing over at the time who had fantastic attributes, but they hadn't really performed or done them enough. And in the end, it was just like, we actually just think he's good enough. And we really kind of drove that home because it was like, well, he's just shown that between his output on the field and what his kind of footy character makeup is, like, this bloke's going to make it in some capacity. And yes, we don't need another one like that. And maybe he got a little bit lucky, you know, when Robbo went down and a few other kind of injuries to get his shot at it in round one that year. But that's sometimes the footy world. And like in the end, it's just like, no, we actually just believe he's good enough. So let's pick the guy that we believe is good enough.
I imagine it must be a pretty good feeling having gone through a number of drafts and looking back and looking at the hits that you found and all that sort of stuff. And I imagine like if you know you're picking in the top five, whatever, you've got a pretty good shot at hitting on that selection. Cal Wilkie, obviously, as you mentioned, was a rookie draft selection. Last week was another rookie draft selection playing his 150th game in Rowan Marshall. Where do these two guys sit amongst, I guess, your favourite guys that you've drafted, just from the fact that they were so late in the piece and they've been through all this, you know, heartache and their journey to get where they are now? I mean, how do you look back on those drafts and those picks?
It's funny, I've had some like mates who are just like footy tragics and ask me like similar questions like that. And they're two of the first, particularly like Carol, because that was my first year as national recruiting manager. But Rowan as well, a few years earlier when I was pretty heavily involved. And I mean, you can kind of be half a smart ass about it and say, you know, Blind Freddie can see, you know, Nick Dacos when he's coming through at 17. You go, that kid's pretty obvious. That's easy. And you don't get them all right and nobody ever does. And so when you get like, when someone like a Wilkie or a Marshall lands, it's like, oh, no, I'm pretty happy with that because you get enough wrong and that's just the way it works. Although there was, one of the current recruiting and list management gurus a few times has mentioned like similar things. And he said, oh, if I thought they were going to be that good, I wouldn't have let them get to the rookie draft. So sometimes the ball bounces your way and you take it. But they are probably the first two names that I think of whenever anyone's asked me, like, oh, who's your favourite kind of thing, just because of that scenario and how it's played out.
So with Rowan, was it his actual ruck work or was it more that he was drafted as a forward at that point? And he came along and sort of in the reserves to begin with a little bit. He played a lot of forward time, that sort of thing, and he's been moulded into quite a good ruckman. What was the initial look at him about?
So he had a bit of an interesting journey. So he played as a 19-year-old for the Rebels and Vic Country that year as an overager. And even as an 18 and particularly as a 19-year-old, he used to get the ball a lot. He'd get pushed around a little bit because he was still pretty skinny, but he just kept naturally finding the ball, which wasn't very common for young rucks. And he still got overlooked then. And then he played in the old Roosters when they were in the VFL and they had a guy called Oren Stevenson who was in the ruck. And he actually played centre half back for a fair bit. And, you know, without being too harsh on him, probably the knock was just how physical and competitive and combative Rowan wanted to be. But he just got better against senior bodies. And so you knew he could find the ball and you knew he had enough athleticism and enough skill. But it was like, are you going to be really physical and combative enough for the AFL? And it was probably that year when he played Yeah, he played about 6 or 8 weeks in defence. He actually played on Sean McKernan one day, and our old recruiting manager at the time kind of wound him up to really almost go the knuckle on him, and he did. And he gave away some silly free kicks and whatever, but it was like, nah, I think this kid actually really wants it, and he's that physical nature is just getting enough. You know, he's never going to be like the absolute basher, but he's just get it to a pretty good level where the rest of his game can kind of flourish. And I've always thought, like, his ability to find the footy and be more of a run-around ruckman rather than have 1,000 hit-outs, that's what Rowan does best. Like, his ability to get the ball 20 times and take 7 or 8 marks and push forward for a goal or two, that's what makes him great. And so, yeah, that was a part that always stuck with you, that you felt pretty confident that he'd be able to do that.
Chris, well done on a couple of those fantastic finds, and for all of your work with the club. Good luck with the national pathways, looking at the next generation of talent coming through as well, and we appreciate you jumping on.
No worries at all. Appreciate it.
Thank you, mate.